This is the Exquisite Podcast. You're rocking with Exquisite Gentlemen. This is the Wisdom Wednesday edition, Build and Destroy edition of the podcast. Trying times, a lot of stuff going on in the world today. We got coronavirus. We have the riots. We got a lot of stuff to discuss, family. So our topic today will be the history of policing. So the history of policing in America, from the slave patrols all the way up to today. All the way up to a man that died, had a knee on his neck. Three deaths within a week and a half, maybe a longer time. And let's start with that. Ahmaud Arbery murdered, cut off in the road by ex police sheriff. How deep does that go? So let's start. Introducing my man B. B is on the line with us, joining the podcast. Sure. So I'm gonna let him join in a second. And we're gonna start this podcast. Again, this is on slave patrols in America. So let's get this started. There's a lot of stuff going on today. It's nothing new. We've seen police violence, brutality for years now, going back to Rodney King. But it seems like only recently a lot of people have really came and found out or recognized that it's serious, even though we knew that for years. But that's a whole topic in itself with the riots and people that are participating in the riots. But we want to start off with the history of slave patrols going back to slavery, and kind of the history and bring you up to today. So back in this time, I would say probably in 1704, South Carolina, the slave patrols were started. They spread throughout the 13 colonies. Slavery was booming because of the cotton gin being invented. And then they had problems controlling the slaves. But a lot of times there were a lot more slaves on the plantation than there were masters, of course. So they had to hire people to control the slaves. Of course, they were hard to control. So when they was to escape, they just had someone to come get the runaway slaves and bring them back to the slave master's plantation. And that's kind of the birth of the modern day police. It started off, it's called the paddy rollers. That changed to patrollers, the slave patrol and the rubber patrols. If you didn't have a pass, you would be returned to your master. Any slaves that ran away, if they got you back, they would maim you, torture you, do whatever they needed to do to make sure that they instill fear in you so you wouldn't try to escape again. And what they do also was auction off the slaves, cause more pain and anguish by separating them from their families. So that's just a small piece of what we're going to get into. I'm going to let Brian jump in, B jump in. And then you can jump in and you can touch bases. But we're going to go through pretty much the paddy wagons, the patrollers, the slave patrol, the rebel patrols. We're going to go up to present day. Some of the stuff we're going to come off the cuff. Later on, we'll be having a video. We'll provide some references and some slides with that as well. But today, we're coming off the cuff. We're going to have an honest off-the-cuff conversation about what's going on today and how it relates to policing and the history of policing in the past. So I'll let you jump in now. Ryan, we can start a discussion, and we can just go back and forth and just kind of add on and kind of link and build. Because this is the Build and Destroy program. Tonight, we build it. You know what I'm saying?
Straight up. Tonight we're gonna build. Yeah, I think you pretty much touched base on most of the historicity in it, man. It's just it comes from a long racial history since slavery. So, you know, it's been a huge part of our culture, our everything, you know. So it's something that you can't escape, you know. So we need to try to figure out a way to rectify this stuff in the past. And try to, you know, do better. So
yeah,
I'm all for
definitely, definitely. And I think that a lot of people, when you tell them that, and that there are slave patrols and stuff like that, and the police start from slave patrols, they're like, look at you like crazy. It's like, no,
it's not about
that's actually how it happened.
Yeah,
because you got to think when you come think about the word policing. Originally, it wasn't about arresting people. Policing basically means to police property.
Mm-hmm.
So someone steals your property, and police was originally farmed people were stealing stuff, or for farmers, and the slaves were getting away.
Yep.
They pretty much had to recover the property, the chattel.
Right, yeah. So, you know, just go out and collect the chattel, you know, bring them back to the rightful owner. And most of them branded with the slave owner's names or insignia somewhere. And so they pretty, you know, so it's a weird history, man, to try to build a life off of that. It's just weird history.
Yeah, and that's why it's funny when people talk about reparations and whether we should get reparations. And I'm like, why wouldn't we get up reparations if everyone else did? And that's off topic, but we're going to discuss it for a little bit.
Right.
We literally put this country in a standing where it'd be a world superpower in the agricultural age and an industrial age of the our blood, sweat, and tears from our people getting arms, legs cut off, members cut off, if you know what I mean. Penises, I'll be frank. Slipping open pregnant women's stomachs. So there was a sense of fear instilled in these slaves. So they would not want to escape. So beyond the torture, that was one of the methods they used when the slaves escaped. But there was a lot of things that happened in the way from then to now. In 1704, like I said, that's when the slave patrols really started in South Carolina, and then it rapidly spread through the 13 colonies. They also had, and this is the interesting point, in Virginia, you had Citadel and VMI. By doing my research, I realized the Citadel and the VMI cadets were actually used to crush slave rebellions.
Wow.
So that's a little history on VMI and Citadels, and their cadets basically were formed as militias, state militias. They were coming to crush any type of slave revolts. And that's another thing that people got to understand, too. A lot of these police or policing or these petty patrollers or slave patrollers were actually there, too, also because there's a lot of slave revolts going on. And that's a big thing that I think our people don't understand, that they think we were complacent and we were.
We was always defiant, man. We was always pushing against it. You know, and that's best since the beginning of slavery. You know, even Africans that just came off the boats were just pulling up with nobody on the bus slaves. You know, just it's real. It was always revolt against, you know, the system.
Yeah, and let's talk about that shortly too. Because like I said, these revolts were some of the reasons. Well, one of the reasons besides runaway slaves that they needed these militias and slave patrols. There are two historical narratives about the origins of American law enforcement. Excuse me. Police in the South slaveholding states has roots in slave patrol squadrons made up of white volunteers empowered, used vigilante tactics to enforce laws related to slavery. They located the returned enslaved people who had escaped crushed uprisings led by enslaved people and punished enslaved workers found or believed to have violated plantation rules. And I'm reading this. This is actually on a website called theconversation.com. The article is called The Racist Roots of America Policing from Slave Patrols to Traffic Stops. And they talk about the two historical narratives. And the first slave patrol, like I said before, started in South Carolina in the 1700s. As University of Georgia social work professor Michael A. Robinson has written, by the time John Adams became the second U.S. president, every state that had not yet abolished slavery had them. Members of the slave patrol could forcibly enter anyone's home, regardless of their race and ethnicity, based on suspicions that they were sheltering people who had escaped bondage. The more commonly known precursor to modern law enforcement were centralized municipal police departments that began to form in the early 19th century, beginning in Boston, soon cropping up in New York, Albany, Chicago, Philadelphia, and elsewhere. The first police forces were overwhelmingly white, male, and more focused on responding to disorder than crime. And even on that, and I had to skip forward a little bit, mm-hmm. when they were talking about the Irish joining the police force, the irony in that was the Irish were known to be the thugs at the time, and then they end up being
yeah, right. Well, I mean,
they end up being the cops.
Pretty much consistent of like mostly the Klan. I mean, was mostly Irish. You know, it started with six Irish dudes.
Right, and this is their documentation. This is not me saying this. This is stuff that I'm reading through this research that I'm doing and on this topic, and it's basically saying, hey, they were known for crime. This is not a black scholar saying this, but then after that crime, they converted to being police and fire department and all that stuff. And you look at some of the cities today, and a lot of these people that are police policemen or in the police department. Mm-hmm. A lot of them, that's a family tradition.
Yeah, I was going to say,
I mean, that, right now.
Yeah, it's passed down just like everything else that they do. You're looking at the evolution of it, you know, and everything evolves that it, you know, so everything that they're doing has been working for hundreds of years. So everything that they, all the concepts that they come up with, they just, you know, expose them to everybody else. And it's like, everybody is now under the same slave patrol.
Right. Exactly. And it's like, pretty much nothing has changed, really, but maybe the uniforms a little bit.
Right.
But the methods are the same. I was looking at an interesting documentary not too long ago, and it was like, it was no qualifications to get into, to be a police back in the day. Even probably today in certain towns, sheriff, literally like you see in those old Westerns, and it's like, hey, you want to be a sheriff? You know, here goes a star.
Yeah, right.
Literally, some of them still do that today.
It's almost like that, you know. Even if you go back and look at Andy Griffin, so to speak, it's kind of just like that, you know. It's just, you know, you think people just picked up the badge, you know. It's like, all right, I'm going to be a law and enforcement, you know, like Trump said, a law and order.
Right. I wouldn't say if you loop, you gonna shoot.
Yeah.
And that's the craziness of it. It's like almost like a wild, wild west thing. And even with that, go back into some more history. We talk about thugs or people they considered thugs back in the day, Irish or whatever. You can go back further and further than that. The irony of them calling us thugs is they were the first thugs. They were the first gangsters. They were the first cowboy outlaws. Right. They're the first one running booze and stuff like that. They're the big drug dealers. But because and this shows you how crazy this is. These drug dealers, we can go to some of the other drug dealers like Scarface or whatever. They're glamorized.
Yeah, exactly. The Italian mafia cat.
They don't even look at them like thugs. Oh, that's cool. That's cool. I mean, of course they thugs, but you know what I'm saying? Yeah. When you look at, compare Scarface to like New Jack City.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. So, you know, that looks glamorous. But when black people do it, it's like, oh, yo, that's crazy. Yo, they thugs, but like America's like Tamika Marley said, America's known for looting. They done looted everything.
Yeah, they looted us.
Including us.
Yeah. That's deep.
Right.
It's deep because it's like that's the history of them. So if you're coming into anything, you have to, you know, that's the history. That's always been their way. So you're gonna have to deal with that before you have to deal with them on a personal level. You know, just acknowledging the fact that they have no clue what you go through because it's always been whatever's good, I'm taking it. You know, whatever's beneficial for me, I'm taking it. So there's no compassion, you know?
Yeah, there's no compassion. And just to think that you could take your knee.
Right.
And just press it on someone's neck for 8 or 9 minutes. While you're looking at a camera.
Callous.
And don't care.
Right.
And we all know if people weren't running through the streets rioting and tearing stuff up, they would have got off. They probably wouldn't have been arrested this quickly.
No.
It would have been a long process.
We know how to change.
And it would have been a GoFundMe
right. For
them or whatever. But the funny thing on that matter, I think it was Ahmaud Arbery's death, and I was looking up and I saw people that basically started going on one of the GoFundMe pages, and all the brothers and sisters was on there just giving it up. on the GoFundMe page, it was going at it.
Man.
So then I saw some other pages, right? So I contacted some people. I'm like, "Whoa, what you doing?" They're like, "Yo, we doing this because we taking any type of proceeds that they are trying to make for this racist people, and we're gonna take it and we're gonna use it
man.
For our people."
Man.
So these people making all these pages all over America to combat these people that were doing these GoFundMe pages for these cops that murdered unarmed black men. And look, let's back up,
okay?
Let's back up a little bit. And this is the thing that kills me. And it also shows that lack of empathy or lack of humanity.
Right.
There should be no reason on earth that you should ever have to shoot an unarmed person.
Exactly.
I don't care if they're white, black, Chinese, whatever color. If they're not posing a threat to you.
Yeah, they have no weapon at all. And that's what makes you a coward at the end of the day, is the fact that you just like killing off cattle, you know. It's just like they don't realize the extreme that you're willing to take it to. So it's just you living in ignorance. People that were murdered, like in their last moments, is like unrealistic that it's going to this level.
Right.
Because
it's almost surreal.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because I'm not going to say that we're not used, but it's not used to it from a police officer. So it's kind of like when you are involved and when you come into you have to now, and these ages change your whole perception on this individual. So it makes it harder as far as being black male in America, man. It's just, it gets worse and worse.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Worse, man.
Especially all the it's almost like a tradition of hate.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a tradition that gets handed down to the point where I feel like it's ingrained. It's in their DNA. And it's sad because I can't understand how people will say, oh, he had a fake $20 bill. He deserved it.
Yeah, justified.
Or he did this. No. Right. If someone's not posing a threat to you or the public, they don't have a weapon, you should not. This is law.
Yeah.
It should be law, and I'm pretty sure it is. I'm not making this up. I can't think of what it's exactly called, but when you use a lethal force or what's it called? Police brutality, mm-hmm. Abuse of power.
Yeah, right.
So anything like that, like especially on young kids, they got the hands up, bag of Skittles and Arizona iced tea, a little kid in the park with a water gun. Mm-hmm. And when are we going to come to a realization that we're under attack?
Yeah, we definitely need to realize that and spread the word that we're under attack. I think that we, to go back to your point about the acceptance of the community, that accept this kind of behavior from police officers because of something small and minor. It's like that's been the way. They always resort to, okay, they killed him, but he was this type of person. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, they try to vilify him.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Try to find the most gangster picture they can find,
right.
Quote-unquote gangster picture. You know, kids will play. They'll be throwing their hands up and, you know, acting like they're cool, but you know, they want to paint that picture of, oh, these were thugs, young thugs. These are predators,
right.
as Hillary Clinton said back in the day. These are super predators. Super predators. You know, like who's more super predator than a pet? But let's rewind on that, though.
Yeah,
we'll let that one go. We'll come.
Yeah, that's a whole other topic.
We're talking about super predators. Let's talk about this pedophilia rings going on. But that'll be a topic of another podcast.
Right.
But I'm gonna jump back into it. Kind of jump back into the laws. And through these slave patrols, a lot of them were enforced by laws. And some of those laws were the Jim Crow laws.
Yeah.
And the Black Codes. So the Black Codes were basically, in so many words, when the slaves got free, they had the Black Codes. They also have Negro Act and other laws. Basically, were Jim Crow laws. But these Black Codes were basically saying, that you could work, if you had to work, you had to work for a white slave master that was Christian. You could not have your own employment, your own business. And if you were jobless, they would put you in jail. So perpetually put you back into slavery because you don't have a job because
right.
you can't even have your own business. Mm-hmm. You got to work for someone. So they perpetually putting you back into slavery, F you out of slavery, and they may make you a slave. You might be a slave again, or you may be a sharecropper where you're in perpetual slavery because you can never pay back the debt because you're always in the hole.
Yeah, that 13th.
You barely got food to feed your family.
Yeah, right. That's the 13th Amendment. You know,
that's what I was saying. That's why I was going into that 13th right. Amendment. After they freed the slaves, you know, at Emancipation Proclamation, shortly after that, you know what I'm saying, it was maybe a year or two. I'm going to get the dates wrong. So 18, I won't give you the wrong date. I'm going to say 1867 or something like that. But whatever the case may be, or whatever the date may be, it was literally like a year after that.
Okay.
That they started enacting. They may have actually started a little bit earlier than that. So it's almost in unison with the Emancipation Proclamation that the 13th Amendment came around, and basically they used the excuse of, if we lock you up, I'm gonna put this frankly, if we lock you up, you are a slave.
Right.
So don't do nothing. Because that felony that you get, or you getting locked up, that's gonna make you a slave again. And that goes into the drug war, that goes to the war on crime, the war on drugs, and it's all part of this big industrial prison complex system.
Right.
And we even go with the high school. You know what I mean? How it was a pipeline.
Yeah, straight into the
into this industrial prison complex.
But it's always been that way too, you know. It's hard. It's hard to imagine it different because it's so long of systemic racism forced towards certain communities. Yeah, right. So that it's hard, man.
Right, yeah. And I'm gonna go into a formal definition of the Black codes too. They're basically part of the Jim Crow laws, were a collection of state and local statutes that legalized racial segregation, named after a Black minstrel show character. Didn't I know that? The laws, which existed for about 100 years from the post Civil War era until 1968. Now think about that.
Right.
It's like our grandparents or parents were around that time, and for people to think this stuff is so far away, it boggles my mind.
Yeah,
it's like almost two generations, not even two generations away. You know what I'm saying? My mom, when she went to school, I'm sure they had to suffer through racism. And even, you know, other people like that, my grandma and them, they probably was the first ones to go to segregated school.
Right.
So it's not that far, you know what I'm saying?
And that was the case around, it's more especially in the more rural areas where it's in the country, that they wasn't hip to how it was working, the rest of the world was operating with segregated school systems. So a lot of them still were in those small schools that they had created for themselves.
Right, right. They had little schoolhouses. Right. But I even heard something about this, and I had to look it up, do some more research, because I don't want nobody to kill me if I say something improper or incorrect. But I had read something about why basically the modern day school systems, or the way that they did schools, is based on how the slaves had started conducting school, their own schools. I don't know how true that is. I might do some more research in that.
That would be
But another point of that too was it was also based on our modern school time when we go to school and when we get out, was when you had to do the crops and stuff in the morning and then come back in the evening and do stuff. But a lot of that stuff was based on it. Believe it or not, a lot of stuff that we came up with as far as education was actually taken from us.
Indoctrination. Yes, like it indoctrinated you into their system of, all right, this is how the basic slave operates. And then even to add Sunday as the Sabbath day, you know, so it's like you rest on Sunday and back to work in school Monday, you know.
Right, right. And we're going to go deeper into these laws too, man, because I wanted to kind of paint a picture for people to understand that we were slaves, right? We couldn't get away. Once we get away, they would capture us, the paddy wagon, the patrollers, slave patrol, the rubber patrol, bring us back, torture us, sell us, do whatever. We would revolt. Let me. And this is another thing I'm researching too. We can go deep into this because I already researched it enough to know. People get fooled, and what they say, the victor writes the history. So, or so the victor goes to spoils, or has a revisionist history because, you know, whoever wins. People will think, oh, they were so empathetic and they wanted to free us. It was like, no, it was something else going on. For one, they couldn't contain us because we kept on rebelling. Right. So they knew they couldn't contain us forever. So they had to find out another way to
control us. Have to create law. And then once you create law, and then you get these slaves who you already have brainwashed since birth, you know, you born and living and dying on these plantations. So you implicate a new law for the new ones, you know, and it's like once that catches on and everybody's passing this new law, so, you know, you have no other choice but to grow up, you know, into the system.
Right. And even I heard, and like I said, I can do some research. And like I said, when I convert this to a video, I'm going to put some images and some references on there. But even Wall Street, you know that slaves were the first commodities on Wall Street.
Wall Street was
where they came out of the ship and walked down the street, and then they put them in these cells
under the building right now.
right. They put them in the cells, and that's kind of how jails were formed. Do you remember back in the day? It was just wide open. The cowboys were running around, and the funny thing about that,
the West was wild. The West was wild.
Yeah, what's the dude name? God, man, I can't think of his name. Long Ranger was based on Bass. What's his name? Bass. God, he was in Watchmen too. The series they did, the Watchmen. What's his Long Ranger name? Bass. Let me look it up real quick. Bass Reeves.
Okay.
Bass Reeves. Is there, no one ever watched Watchmen. I don't even think they're coming back, but watch that first season of Watchmen. Yeah. They go through Black Wall Street and tell the story of Bass Reeves. And it's a very good story because they blend history
right.
and comics. Yeah. But it was dope. Just the way they did it was good. But Bass Reeves was actually a sheriff. He had to go catch the outlaws. These wild white men that were running around, killing people, robbing people, doing whatever. And I forgot how many. It was a lot of, it was like 200-300. Might have been more than, I'm seeing it now. He arrested 3,000 felons. 3,000. Yeah, decimating. So he was the baddest mug. Yeah,
decimating the native population.
Ain't take shit off nobody. Actually, I think they said he became a sheriff. He was on a plantation and beat the shit out of the slave owner and escaped. Dead serious, but that's Bass Reeves. But that tells you how it was back in the day. He was a U.S. Marshal that was capturing these thugs running around in the wild, wild west, robbing the little, what you call those little little wagons they had? I forgot what you call them. Those little wagons they had, these to ride with the horses or whatever. And robbing those, and robbing people, or whatever the case may be. And also, it just shows you that the history is skewed, where they say, hey, they act like we started that type of thug culture when it's always been around, and they thugging on a global level. They looting on a global level. You know what I'm saying? They looting countries. They're not looting people. They're not looting cities. They're not looting a store.
The
whole world. The whole world. Different, you understand what I'm saying?
Man, over different countries, man. It's just impressive. The goal that they have, man, just to try to manipulate people for that common goal. You know what I mean?
Right. And going back to that, this is where you got to understand that these families have passed on, just like they can pass on traditions where different family members might be the presidents or might be different heads of companies. They pass that on generation to generation. These generations of KKK members, Nazis, and all these people are in police force back then, and they're still there.
The family line, bloodline is still there. But that's why I think it's important that we have more Black police officers. And I think that our culture has typically looked at the police force as a negative thing. It's like, no, once we be able to control it and make it about peace, about safety, and the real protection of everyone in communities. You could be a bridge of the police system and the people if it's more Black people. Because a lot of people don't know how to deal with, you know, Uncle Tyrone that's drunk on the corner, you know what I mean? And the white guy running on him, like, they don't understand how he talk. You know, he don't say what's on his mind. And a lot of people can't deal with that, you know?
Right, exactly, exactly. And but yeah, and that's why I said, and that's why it was crazy that they kept passing laws. And like I said, the one I called before was called the Vagrancy Act. So, and the Vagrancy Act was, you know, Black men just came out. There's a couple of stories to talk about that. They were also competing with the indentured servants that had been freed. Mm-hmm. So once everyone was freed, the indentured servants, the slaves, they were competing for the same jobs, and that's when unions
to make
were
it make for white men to get jobs.
Yeah, preservation of the white man to make sure that he succeeds no matter what. And that's also what kind of caused some of the racism in America, because at one point in time, the indentured service, the Irish or whatever country they came from in Europe, were actually fighting with the slaves. A lot of people don't know that, you know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of things about history that aren't told. And a lot of it, like, I think we had this conversation before, a lot of racism comes around and rears its ugly head when there's a shortage of jobs.
Yeah, when they better look out, because it's going to get crazy. It's like, they are the same thugs and gangsters that they call us. they get turned on savage mode and, you know, try to make it us. That's the problem, you know. But they're doing what they do. They loot, like you said, they loot. They're the looters. They're the, you know, the thieves. They're all of them.
Exactly. Yeah. Pirates.
Yeah. You taught us violence. Like, we learned it from you. So, and that's from the initial. I'm not 100% aware of the mind state of Africans during that time, but I'm pretty sure they were at peace wherever they are, willing to let.
Yeah, I don't even think at that point in time when they started, well, like you said, they were slave patrols to patrol slaves, but it really wasn't no crime going on unless there was, like you said, some wild, you know, hillbillies doing some crazy stuff. Other than that, you know, slaves on plantations, so what were they doing?
And then you got generations of people that are subordinate.
Yeah.
If you want to be real, right. I mean, for the most part, they are mostly subordinate if they're coming into a culture where, you know, your grandma telling you to sit down somewhere because they don't want you to be taken to another plantation or they don't want to be taken away from you. You know what I mean? So they on them harder than the slave master is. So, you know, how can you be, even kids, you know? So it's hard. It's like, the thinking in that is that you'll never be able to escape it, whether you do the best that you can, or you know, or you're not.
I think it was Dr. Joy DeGruy that had a video on that, and she was saying how Black parents can be proud of their kids, but when they're around other parents, white parents, or whatever, and it's like, yeah, your son Billy's doing good. She's like, well, yeah, Jamal is doing better than da da da. And she'll go, oh, yeah, that little silly, stupid boy, he ain't done nothing. They kind of downplay it. And basically, she said that came from a history because Rufus always snatched the smartest slave or wanted to take the smartest slave or whatever. So they used to kind of downplay the intelligence and act like their kids were shiftless.
Bad kids. I heard that too, man. And that's deep, brother. Because that.
And what if that still plagues us today? What if that still plagues us today? We don't think it's cool to be smart or cool to be, you know, we want to play the background. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of stuff, I'm not saying that necessarily. People don't understand a lot of stuff from slavery still exists today. That's just not a myth. It's stuff that's continually happened. It's been a continual chain of events. And after the Emancipation Proclamation, when we went to a Reconstruction era where we had senators and all these Black politicians and important people, that was like the only break we got, and we were doing good. Then they went to the Freedmen's Bureau. We were supposed to get land and all this, but after they killed Abraham Lincoln, they took that promise back, and Black people that did have land, they took it away from us, and also from the Native Americans. So I was watching this documentary on I never know what Sooner was, Oklahoma Sooner was. I'm like, what the hell is a Sooner? I think they used like a dog for that mascot. But Oklahoma Sooner was when they basically killed off the Indians and Trail of Tears or whatever the case may be and ran them off. The colonizers would just run out into the field and just plant a flag and that'll be their land. That's what we talk about looting. And it's like, it's funny they talk about looting when like, they have a history of looting. The fabric of America is thugism and looting and that criminal element. And they want to think it's based on us when literally it's based on them and their history, even coming from Europe and things that they've done and accustomed to. I'm going to go to Black Codes. I'm going to give it back to you for a second. I just want to read a few things. But I'm going to go back to the Black Codes. The roots of Jim Crow laws began as early as 1865. Immediately following the ratification of the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery in the United States. Black codes were strict local and state laws that detailed when, where, and how formerly enslaved people could work, and for how much compensation. The codes appeared throughout the South as a legal way to put Black citizens into indentured servitude, to take away voting rights, to control where they live and how they travel, and to seize children for labor purposes. Uh-huh. The legal system was stacked against Black citizens with former Confederate soldiers working as police. Let's go back into it again. The legal system was stacked against Black citizens. So the legal system was against us as well.
Wow.
With former Confederate soldiers working as police and judges. making it difficult for African-Americans to win court cases ensuring they were subject to Black codes.
Yeah, what's the difference? That's what the difference.
So that's what we're trying to bring it from then to now. And people think, police brutality, y'all exaggerating. No, we got cameras now so y'all can see it, but they've been lynching us. And they still lynching us.
But I think that was the biggest part. That was the big part about the showcase is that you could now see her, his mom made him see what they did to her baby. You know what I mean? So once the world sees it, you know, it's different from just handing like, oh yeah, he must have did something, you know, or you can't vilify him. But then ask yourself, is that punishment justifiable? You know?
Right. And like I said, even with those codes and those laws they passed, they worked in conjunction with the labor camps for the slaves incarcerated, where the prisoners were treated as enslaved people. And the Black offenders typically received longer sentences than their white equals. And because of the grueling work, often did not live out their entire jail sentence. So most of them died, you know. And then you got to go into the Ku Klux Klan. So you had the Confederate soldiers, you had cadets, you had these militia of people that were working to capture freed slaves up to the day where we still have these laws and this judicial system and these cops, they're doing the same thing. So how can you not connect the slave patrols to what's going on today? There's no difference. And we can even go into the Ku Klux Klan during the Reconstruction era, local governments, as well as the National Democratic Party and President Andrew Johnson thwarted efforts to help Black Americans move forward. Violence was on the rise, making danger a regular aspect of African-American life. Black schools were vandalized and destroyed, and bands of violent whites attacked, tortured, and lynched Black citizens in the night. Families were attacked and forced off their land all across the South. I forgot what they had. Sundown towns? I forgot what it's called. Like, if you're a Black person, you're out at night, you will end up dying. Like, man, we had a curfew then.
That changes.
Think about that.
Replicating the same system over and over, and the cycle is over and over, because if we don't learn the history of it, then it's going to continue to happen. And it, like, that's the realest thing I've ever heard. You know what I mean? Like, don't, you know, the repetition of history is because of lack of knowledge. You don't know the system that you're coming into, so you fall into the same trick. And it's like, once we get a grip on what's going on, we'll be able to change it a lot faster.
Right. And a lot of people don't like to talk about it. They want to ignore it, but if you ignore it, it don't mean it's going away. I saw a lot of people like, what do I tell my kids?
Yeah, you're late. If your kids are not aware of what's going on in this world since their birth, you know what I mean? You're talking about the last 10 years. Look at the actions of the police system on television alone from the last 10 years. You know, so like, your kids should be aware of it. They watch and do everything that we do. So if you making yourself aware, then they'll be just as aware.
Yeah, and then we can also go into hate crimes. In the last 2 years, I think hate crimes have gone up 300%. They still try to villainize us and not the domestic terrorists. I think they put some of these white national groups back on the domestic terror watch list. When our president came in office, he took them off. And then they had the nerve later on to say, hey, there's this thing called Black identity extremists. I'm like, okay, what are they doing? What are they doing? I haven't heard. Who are these Black identity extremists? So where are they at? What are they doing? Are they doing mass shootings?
That's ridiculous say. And then that's the problem with America, too, is the fact that they're willing to give us names of organizations while they have a problem that you can connect us, even as their school shooters. Like, we don't do that. We don't pick up nicknames for their school shooters and exploit it in the news. And, you know, that's the problem. Is like, we don't jump on those opportunities to throw those things that they throw on us in their face. You know, once you have a problem in your community, be it the heroin or all of the crazy drugs or the meth, you know, they're a high percentage of meth addicts in the country. So it's like, these are your issues. So we don't throw those issues in your face and make it like you're the problem. When it's apparent that you are.
Right.
So I think that's the part they have cognitive dissonance when it comes to that. It's like they don't realize that they're the problem because it's like, I don't want to accept that because we've always been a great nation. But it's never been great. America never went back to correct this issue. It's got like so much shit swept under the rug till one day you're going to trip over it. You know what I mean? Start
stinking. You're piling up so much shit. After a while, it's going to start stinking. And that's what's happening today.
People don't realize that. People don't get it. Like, you can't try to reason with a mass of people. It's impossible because there's so many different outlooks. But if you have a mass of people that's there to seek revenge, so to speak, that's what you're going to end up with. Eventually, somebody's going to throw something. Especially when you have the oppressor did this right in front of you, lined up, and they're ready to defend their man. You know what I mean? So, all right, so you got the other side that's right here, and you got a mass of people. Eventually, something's going to pop off.
Exactly. And just to go back to backtrack to what we were talking about these slave catchers and having cadets and everything like that, the squash rebellions. People didn't even know like that we had rebellions, and that was something that I learned probably past 5-6 years. I knew some about I knew about Nat Turner, but I never knew the extent of that in the Seminole Wars and going up to the Samba Rebellion, the Stono Rebellion, in South Carolina. Nat Turner, the Gloucester County, Virginia Revolt, the Bayanos War, San Miguel de Guadalupe.
Yeah.
Well, I can't even say that. 1526 Revolt. So all these slave revolts have been happening. And we've never been complacent. We've never been passive. In another episode of our podcast, we're going to talk to why. We become
right.
That's another topic. We were rebelling, and even on the slave ships, we were rebelling. And that's why I was telling someone, it's like, hey, you never saw Pirates of the Caribbean? I was like, no, I was turned off it because Jack Sparrow. Spade, or what's his name? Jack Spade.
No problem.
Jack Sparrow. Sorry. Why do you think he had dreads?
Even deeper,
because the Pirates of the Caribbean.
And then look back at Calypso, man. That was the most important part of that movie, man. Look back at her and her mystical power. And it's the only, like, one of the only black people in the drink. You know what I mean? So they tell you, you're telling out loud that this person had, this is where the man, you know? So, and it's basically, this is the time that you're talking about. And people, you can watch, not draw a parallel to you and it. Because that's where they were coming in at. The ports came from South Africa. This is the closest place to the South Americas. So the ports are coming straight from there and they stopping in the Caribbeans. So all of these people are like, you know, they basically slaves, but they just Valdo, Voodoo, you know what I mean? It's like that was what's popping. So
Yeah, especially in Haiti, because you go Dessalines and all these different people that basically fought off the French, and they never forgot about
it. Right.
And you see they came back together.
I watched that episode. I think it was Conan O'Brien. I want to say, I don't want to get that wrong. Which one of the cats with the orange hair? Yeah, he went out to Haiti, and he was talking to kids. You seen that?
Oh.
Yeah, there you go.
He talked to the little girl. A little black girl from Haiti. She was like, "Yeah, but I don't got to come up with I forgot what you said.
That was so powerful, if I could man. Find because it's like, people, and the crowd is like clapping. You can hear the audience like going off. Truth. It's like, now I almost won't do that again. Well, you don't know. So you know, like that's.
Yeah, I'm gonna play that clip with the little girl said. If I can find it, hopefully I can find it.
Yeah,
you can go ahead and keep on talking.
That's how powerful it is. Like, they will never forget that. And just like we don't. And we don't realize that a lot of us come through that, those ports, Jamaica ports, to South America, and then throughout the rest of the continent. You know what I mean? So it's deeper than the if you're not aware of the history of it, it's kind of hard to connect to slavery. And that was my issue. I'm gonna keep it G. It's like I wasn't aware of the extent of slavery. I was just so tired of talking about it. You know, it was like, oh man, I gotta hear about this again. I gotta hear about me being the lesser. But it was through slavery which I realized that my true self. It's like, bro, that's so much deeper. It was like so much more on the opposite side of that. And you know, not to get off topic, but that's pretty neat, exactly, man. And look back at those Caribbean islands, it's like, bro, that's like the mecca of information. You wanna know what's going on? Look back at how they conquered that place. And it was a hurricane. One of those hurricanes more recently had went through those Caribbean islands, and I heard about a foreign island, Barbuda. You ever heard of that island?
Which island was this? Was that the one where the people?
No, it was a hurricane that came through and like Cuba, and I mean not Cuba, but Puerto Rico. Remember that? I can't remember the exact. But yeah, it came through that area first, and it's like I looked up that place. I never heard of it, and it's like the flag is like as black as I don't know what. Like the people are just all black, like almost a tourist attraction. It's like a black island, all black island. Like you would have never heard of that place.
And that's how it is in plenty of places, these islands and stuff like that, where they're the original people are there. You know, that goes, and like people don't know, one of the largest black populations in India, and they don't know their history. Yeah. That we were basically everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Not that they only colonized America, they colonized the whole world.
Literally.
Most original people, you know what I'm saying, were black people. You know what I'm saying? Even you go someplace in Asia, and like most of the people that look like us, they live out in the Aboriginal countryside.
Australia, they sex the race right off of the island, bro. For sure. And that, man, that is so deep, man. It's like, you can see, if you really were interested in seeing what the devastation was, you can look back at all of the telltale signs, you know, even religion. And
right. I'm gonna play this little clip from this girl in Haiti. We're getting off topic, but I want everybody to hear. All right, let me play this real quick.
Maybe Americans need to help Haiti put things back. Is that right?
He said, it's not true. We don't need help. They're going to come here and pick out.
Yeah, that's what it was. Man, that's so powerful, man.
He's not going to take our stuff anymore, but he still owes us our land back. These kids are smart. They said he's not going to take our stuff, but he still owes us our land back. And you know, we don't even want to go to the Clintons and what they were doing and Haiti stealing children, and that's a whole nother episode that we gotta do. We might call it the Death of Innocence or something like that, because there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes now. People haven't been paying attention. The pedophilia rings. And I'm sure part of that goes back to slavery too. And I'm not even being funny, but you look at how many people are missing. You know what I'm saying? And you know, it's only Amber's on Amber Alert. It ain't Keisha on that. You know what I mean? They don't care about the black kids when they go missing. You know what I'm saying? Or black
That's
women.
The problem. Or black even men. The fact that we don't pay attention, because we need to be watching the fluctuation of that in neighborhoods, because they try to blame it on other things. But after a while, it's like a bunch of kids pop up missing, dead, you know, random drive-bys in those neighborhoods. When it's like, man, come on, for real, isn't it that often? You know, something's going down. It's like, it's weird, man. It's creepy almost.
Yeah, it is. And I know we got back off topic, but just going back to the history of slavery, or the Emancipation Proclamation, and we were free, and like we were talking about the Racy Act and the vagabonds, and these were the people that couldn't get jobs because they're out of slavery, and they was competing with the indentured servants. the white indentured servants for jobs. Like you said, they created a union. So a lot of these men were skilled. They were more skilled than some of the indentured servants. And let's go back to that. We were talking about that. The difference between indentured servitude, when people say they were white slaves, and indentured servitude, there's a big difference. Indentured servitude is when you serve a certain amount of years and you can either pay off your debt or work off your debt, and you will be given land and able to live your life. Slavery, you don't get none of that. You're a slave for life. Your children are slave for life. If you're a black slave and you marry a white woman, she will be a slave and her children will be slave as well. So we got to really understand that this institution of slavery was very damaging, and it was very deep, and there was a lot of hatred behind it and a lot of vitriol. And it's amazing that the extent that they've gone through and they've succeeded and mentally enslaving us now. Like, oh, we don't need to have your bodies per se.
Oh,
in the old-fashioned way. We got your mind. We're going to flood you with drugs. We're going to have the war on crime so we can put more people in jail so you can be a slave again. As far as the 13th Amendment is concerned. And shout out to Ava DuVernay for doing that film. That was a powerful film. And I don't know who hasn't seen it, but if you haven't seen it, go watch the 13th Amendment. And we even going back into that. But I was going back into how they was calling the vagabonds, these people that didn't have, couldn't get jobs because they were just freed and they were shut out of jobs unless they worked for a Christian slave master, became sharecroppers or something like that. They're the vagabonds. And a lot of people don't know that these images of bums with the little bag on the stick and the holy shoes was also one of the ways that clowns came about.
Right.
And also the minstrel shows came from them mocking these poor slaves. And they also used to mock rich freedmen. They used to call them zip coons because they were fancy, but they still was cool.
That was a name that they come up with, right?
You know what I'm saying?
Where did you come up with that?
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, and then they're like that zippity doo dah, zippity yay. And
ice cream song.
It's a lot of songs. And this is another thing, like a lot of these songs. The ice cream song. And then, okay, let's not even talk about Doja Cat with the didn't do song. So it's troubling, you know what I'm saying? But they have this history of propaganda against us. And just the imagery, it was like a full campaign. And I always think, what makes you go to that extent to hold the people back? What is within you? Makes you we gotta hold these people back no matter what. We don't care about their lives. We don't look at them as human beings.
Why are you doing that? Like, what are you hiding? Or why don't you want these people to succeed? Because it's something deeper that they know about us. That
they know who we are. They know who
and
we
that's
are.
That's what's creepy. It's like you know about these people or this band of people, but you don't. You have a secret that you're trying to uphold that could break. You know, like your shit up. You know, it could throw you off or change dynamics of history through the secret that if the masses knew that it would create so much uproar.
Right. And that's why history is important. And that's why some people are like, oh, I'm worried about history. Like, no, but if you study history, you see a pattern, you see a behavior, you see a temperament of white imperialism, white nationalism that still exists today. So how can you not connect that? And if you pay attention to history, what's going on today should
surprise. The next part of that ongoing saga. And, you know, it's parts of it that's been going on since the 50s that hasn't been resolved. Or, you know, it's issues that are just appalling that we are unaware of. Once we become a mass of people that are looking for a common goal, which we all found important, I think that will open us up in those regions. You know, like start people these conversations of older laws that need to be changed. You know, as far as the 13th Amendment,
right, exactly, and then the how they transfer that into making money and people come to the jails and privatized prisons and bid on contracts for the workers and do all this crazy stuff. And they had to reach quotas So they got quotas for, oh, we got a contract with food service. We got a contract with a telephone service. We got a contract with this. So not only are they making money off the slave labor, they're making money off of them being in jail, and they get a certain amount of money for every prisoner that's in there as well. So it's also about capitalism, and that's what's driven a lot of this beyond
that's
the
most
hatred.
Of the issue
also
is
even
the capitalism. Your ability to have a free, open market where anybody can make a business out of anything.
Right. And when they gave us the opportunity to do that, we thrived. And that's another part of like the KKK and the lynchings. A lot of people don't know. Beyond them burning the towns down, like Tulsa, Oklahoma, and also and the things that they did in Durham and all these different places where these people, Rosewood, when they let us out of slavery and let us be, we thrived. We had banks, we had doctors, we had all this stuff. And even in Black Wall Street, Tulsa, Oklahoma, rather, the white people used to come to black town to get stuff.
Exactly. But that's
stuff was better than the stuff in their town.
All of the doctors were the best medicines through midwives, you know, those old women from, you know, the mammy.
The big mama on plantation was also the doctor. You know what I'm saying? And they used to come, and the slave master used to come to her to get healed. But now we got white people to get healed. And on that note, I read something the other day, 300 to 440,000 people die each year from medical error. And that's not behind heart disease.
That's crazy because they never had this issue.
And let's not even talk about black women. Talk about midwives and black women, the troubles they go through giving birth, and how dangerous it is for black women. Even when it's Serena Williams, she had came out and said something about that. So we're getting attacked from all angles. There is a war for our bodies. You know what I'm saying? It don't matter. They're going to attack us mentally. They're going to attack us with propaganda. They're going to attack us medically. They're going to attack our bodies. They're going to kidnap us. They're going to kill us. And that's why I say history is important, because you don't know the history, it can go right by you, not even notice it, because you not don't even know what to look for. You're not familiar with that vibe, that bad vibe, you know what I'm saying, of the tradition of white supremacy. You know what I'm saying? And we'll go a little bit longer, then we'll close down the podcast in a little bit. But I wanted to touch on some bases, then I'll let you go. And then I'll wrap up. So if you got any things you want to say, you can think of why I go through this little thing. So go quickly through this. 1704, South Carolina had the slave patrols spread through 13 colonies. It was hard to control slaves because slavery was booming because of the cotton gin. Being about black men. So they came from the paddy rollers to the patrollers. So that's where you get patrol, the word patrol from, the slave patrol, the rebel patrols. Anyone without a pass would be returned to slave master. You would be injured, maimed, leg cut off, foot cut off, whatever the case, whatever type of corporal or inhumane punishment that they would dish out, as well as auctioning off you to other plantations, separating you from your family. Another thing people don't know, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia was the biggest slave populations, or where most of the slaves were. And most of those stories we see about slavery and people get separated from the families. Most of those families were in Maryland, Virginia, and D.C., and they, from there, they expanded the slaves, I want to say expanded slaves. They transported the slaves to different states throughout the country from those colonies. So people in the DMV, you know, we got that rich tradition of fighting back when it comes to freaking Harriet Tubman or even abolitionists like Frederick Douglass. They came out of this area, Nat Turner, all these people, the revolts in Gloucester. So we've never been a passive people. But I think over the time with certain indoctrinations and certain elements in the media, entertainment, and different laws and different things against us, you know, where we are today is not too far from where we are. It's a different look. It may not be as cruel, but it's still the same trappings of white supremacy and policing black bodies. And then after that, they came out with the Fugitive Slave Act. It made it legal, and they considered slaves as contraband. Originally, they could escape north or escape somewhere else, and they'll be free. But with the Fugitive Slave Act, they could basically recover their slaves from free states. And that's a lot of them slaves escaped to the Union side during the Civil War. And some of them used the Underground Railroad to escape as well. There was a lot of different slave codes that were different from state to state. But it must be said that we fought back violently and we revolted from the Stonewall Rebellion to the Nat Turner Rebellion to that. And just to bring you from that point forward, from the slave patrol to now with Ahmaud Arbery jogging and the two men basically ambushing them. And one of them was a sheriff, or used to be a sheriff, a retired sheriff. Another story, I think it was in North Carolina. Black guy was dating a white young lady. They were at his house, his family's house. A sheriff and a mob of people came with guns drawn, ran up in their house to get this girl. Mm-hmm. So what's different? You know what I mean? What's different? It's the same thing. You know what I mean? You still have these people in the police that are racist, that are KKK members. And there's even a correlation sometimes where they even had the KKK doing the policing as well. And they used to have stars and stuff on their Klan robes. But I'm going to put pictures of all this stuff on the podcast. But the point of being that said by Ahmaud Arbery and the incident that happened with the teenagers in North Carolina is saying that things haven't changed. You know what I mean? same shit, different toilet. But got to keep our eyes open and be aware. Teach your children their true history. And people feel like, oh, I know my history. Oh, you mad at mm-hmm. white people? No, we're not mad at white people. To a certain degree, we are. But we're not going around like, oh, I want to hurt white people. No, we just need you to have that history. Our kids can have that history to know mm-hmm. how to navigate through this world, to know what's coming their way, to know mm-hmm. what to be prepared for, and to know how to fight
exactly.
against
exactly.
Because if you can't see the enemy, you can't fight it. You know what I'm saying? And that's what's going on today. So RIP, George Lloyd, RIP, Ahmaud Arbery, RIP, Breonna. It just keeps going back. Yeah. I can go back. We can go all the way back to Emmett Till.
It just gets so depressing and so stressful that it's live and your kids see it and everybody has to go through this. It makes it weird to go to work around people of a different race, because it's like you don't understand how right. offensive that is to me, and you just you have no regard for it, you know.
Right, and the only way the racism is going to end, and I don't think it's ever going to end, is if white right. people black you need kids. To talk to your peoples.
Oh, well, that's true. No,
they need to talk to their family. The white people need to talk to their family. If you see your family saying racist stuff or being racist, check them. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're not, and you're right. complacent, and you're laughing around, along with them, you're an enabler. You're an enabler. You're co-signing that, whether you believe that or not, or do you actually do believe it, and you're just acting differently when you're around people of color. So let's get real. It first starts with your family. The first teachers are the women. So don't teach your kids racism. You know what I mean? Teach them to be humanitarians. Teach them to love humanity. Have some empathy for mankind. Especially black people. We built this country and we still suffering after all the work we put in. Reparations very needed and so. Justice is needed.
Very much so. Yeah, what I was going to touch on was just like kind of basic ways to kind of like go against that, you know, just like fight back. I think a lot of the or solutions, man. Right.
Let me drop one more tip before
you're trying to create something. I have a creative mind state, so I'm trying to think of ways that right. we could, you know, end this kind of shit. I feel like the cops should have mandatory cameras, you know, for all law enforcement. Whether you know, any time that you're on the clock, you should have a role in that you cannot control. Yeah, that's the biggest point.
They do, but they turn it off.
Command center where you're watching all cameras at once, and these guys can't turn the cameras off. They always on. They're always rolling. As soon as you clock in, your camera starts rolling, because it's a lot of times that they are doing unlawful things. and getting away with it because they are the police. Mm-hmm. And I know a few cases where you have cops just like flying through stop signs and all that kind of crazy shit for nothing. And they end up having accidents, killing people, mm-hmm. killing themselves, you know, just rushing to like simple stops because it, you know, the mentality. Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of like a great way to help. And then, you know, maybe like a ride along, somebody, you know, anything, you know.
Yeah. And this is another topic. I'm going to make this one short, though. Brothers.
Right.
If you join the police force, you know what you're getting into. You know what I'm saying? And I'm really disappointed by the brothers in Atlanta. I'm glad that they got arrested. Five brothers and one Caucasian man got arrested for pulling those two black teenagers out of their car, busting the windows, dragging them out of the car, puncturing their tires, hitting them with a taser. And in the meantime, there's a white girl in the car in front of them. As soon as they show the clip, they laughing right in front of them, and they in the car with the black teenagers behind them, puncturing their tires, trying to bust out their windows, doing all this unnecessary stuff. You know what I'm saying? So let's talk about these brothers that get into this thing. Just know what organization you're joining. And I'll leave it at that. But this last thing that I wanted to leave it on, and I'll let you wrap up. An article on PBS NewsHour. FBI warned white supremacists and law enforcement 10 years ago. Has anything changed? FBI warned of white supremacists and law enforcement 10 years ago. So nothing has changed. The wool has been pulled over your eyes. The world has been pulled over your eyes. White supremacy has been pulled over your eyes. And you don't even know that the same people that were killing you back then is the same people that are killing you now. You know what I'm saying? And one solution, I'll give my solutions. I'm going to let you wrap up. Then I'll close out. The solutions, we need criminal justice reform. Shout out to Meek Mill. Shout out to Jay-Z. Shout out to Yo Gotti. And then for doing that work in prisons, even shout out Kim Kardashian for her work as far as
Trump's concerned.
Trump gave us a crumb. That's not enough. I did a lot more than that. But criminal justice reform. I also talked to someone, or were actually listening to a lecture. I forgot who was talking about it, but I don't know if you're familiar with Prince York and Nubians or whatever. That's part of it. But what they did was, he said, I want 100 black men to apply for the police force. Every time you want to apply, bring some brothers with you. Bring 100 brothers with you. So when you go into that police force, it's not just you. Because when it's just you, they can bully you. They can even kill you if they want to, but they can bully you. And you're not going to have no voice because they'll take away your livelihood to live and do anything. So you just become a quiet little duck. They don't say nothing, but sit back there and watch people brutalize your own people, and then some of them will brutalize their own people. So let's get that straight. Just know the organization you're joining, and that's one of the things that I feel like the criminal justice reform, 100 black police, have 100 black police or 50 police, or your brothers and stuff like that, go join the academy with you, join the police force with you, so you're not there alone. So you won't be, the odds won't be stacked against you when something goes wrong, you can speak out or do something about it. You know what I'm saying? And even there, you got the police aren't being policed. The police are policing the police. The last thing that I will say is police need to patrol their own communities. So have somebody in their own community that polices that community. Somebody that knows people in the community. Someone that knows the little kids that are around. You know what I'm saying? That knows the grandmas, the big moms, to talk to them, you know, what's going on, da, 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 instead of always being on the attack. So those 3 points, the criminal justice reform, when black officers apply to the academy, bring some brothers with you, and also having police's patrols.
I was going to be one of my points, actually, is like, I think that they should live in the communities that they police. If you take on that job, you should have to live in that community. Forced to live your everyday life in that community, walk your dog in that community, so you know what's going on. Not so much to, you know, over police or be too involved, but you should know what's going on in your community.
Exactly. And then that way, if you're in touch with the people that are in your community, you're less to commit these acts true. Against that's them. Because you know true. What? You ain't going to shit where you eat. And in any neighborhood where I live at now, it's cops that live right around. But they're not going to fuck with me because they're not going to fuck with people in their own neighborhood. Yeah, that's where they live. You know what I'm saying? So it keeps them honest.
Yeah.
You doing something jacked up shit? Right. Oh, you live right up the street.
And that's kind of what it's necessary. You're talking about the history of it. So you're saying that those slave catchers would be on that same property. It was almost your lifetime job. You know, you go to that property and base yourself on that property. So, you know, on that little small town. So you got to know them. Got to. I think that's a huge issue. I think that even though there needs to be more education to police departments on how to deal with people of color. I think that just alone in that, because if you're looking at statistically, exactly. This is your biggest issue is the relations between blacks or black men and white police officers.
Right. I agree. And exactly. That's something that needs to change. They need some sensitivity training or racial, cultural training, something as well. Right. And also, there needs to be good vetting. There needs to be psychological profiles of these police officers and what their background.
Check it out.
Go to their Twitter account when they in her teenage. Oh, what'd you say back in 1999? You know what I'm saying? But you got to thoroughly vet these people, make sure you had the right temperament to be the cops. I know being a cop is not easy, but you signed up for that job. So when you sign up for that job, you got to protect and serve. And
another you know point I mean? That is not crazy. I remember it's kind of like out there, but a lot of the military or ex-military cats are coming into police departments. What do you think that post-traumatic stress from war brought to the streets of America is almost militarized police system?
But that's exactly. Another thing. Some of them join the military because they want to kill some people of color.
My point.
Then they come back. Oh, I could join the activity. Or be an MP.
When you go to war like that, you go into other countries, you are looking for people. You're not looking for people that look like you to kill. You know, you're looking for a different race, a different belief system, and that helps to kill, so to speak. It helps you kill them easier because you're not like me. You're not one of us. You don't believe what I believe. So it's going to take you down with no callus. And I think that might have transferred over to America where you get small towns with these cats coming in as ex-military. They're making good money. Like, what the hell? You know, I'd rather put on a suit and rock a gun all day. You know what I mean? But my enemy is not going to be my own people.
Right.
So we have to, as black people, bridge the gap. You know, all right, let us do the same thing then. You know, I'm not after my own people, so it's 50-50. You have to make a split somewhere in order for it to be equal. You know, I don't believe in a lot of murder, but I think that we should be aware of what's going on underneath, you know, metaphysically understand what's going on. Like, yeah, right. On all levels. Like, you have to
see all this shit.
Because it's like, if you are unaware by now, there has to be a change. You know, you have to do something. And a lot of the issues is a lot of people that we respect, even in celebrity standpoint, entertainers, they don't stand up. They talk all this shit. Oh my god!
Don't let me get on TI.
On that point too, they kind of. I'm not gonna say that I'm on the fence, but listening to the interview, they were more on the lines of, "All right, Atlanta is almost like the mecca for black people," which I completely agree with. You know, it's more black progressiveness in that one city than it is anywhere in the country. So it's kind of, and I always said that if we had a hierarchy, it should start in Atlanta. That should be the mecca of where all our black growth come from. And then we're protected in that, and it's in the South. So anything go down, we right here, you know? So, you know, I kind of thought like that too. And so they was trying to protect the black businesses that people were destroying, when Killer Mike was saying, you know, black women own some of these you know, food restaurants, and you know, they was destroying everything.
Yeah, I agree with that part, but I feel like
okay,
he did some slight pandering. not a lot. I heard about what Tia said, but I don't even want to store it. because I like both them brothers, because they stand up brothers, but when you stand up, understand, you know.
Exactly.
But see, the thing is, they're linked to the politician too, so they're linked mm-hmm. to the man. So they don't want to.
We run into cross that too. That it's a time and place for everything.
You know what I mean?
You have to know strategically. All right. So say that they are undercoverly trying to get into the political system in Atlanta. So once they implicate themselves in the system, you do what you want. Then you know you're gonna have to live that shit. And it's gonna be a whole...
right. So there's a movie called "The Spook That Sat by the Door." You ever watch that? Watch that, John. I think it might be on YouTube. The Spook That Sat by the Door was Gacy's, the okay. CIA or FBI or whatever it was. It's a movie. It's not real though. It's fiction, pretty much, I think. But they basically trained. It was like, we're gonna train some black people to see if they can do what we do, and they did all the training or whatever. And one guy got through. And basically, the other brothers was like, "Yo, what are you doing?" Da, 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 da. He was like, you know, I'm basically the spook to say, I'm going to learn everything I got to learn, then I'm going to help mm-hmm. my people. You know what I'm saying? But it's some complexities mm-hmm. in the story, you know what I'm saying?
To draw it's parallel, a good movie
that you definitely
that's what we want to do with out. The policing. You know, get one cat in that know the system. Get those cats in that know the law. Right. If you know the law, you back about, you got lawyers right. that are black lawyers that know the law. You know, you got black female lawyers that know the law. So let's all get combined and create one system.
But this is the thing right here. When they get in, they got to be for us. There's a lot of them
the financial stand, like an endless bank account.
Right.
Well,
right. All skin folk and kin folk. You feel what I'm saying? So... But not only what they said, Harriet Tubman said, there'll be a lot more slaves free if they knew they were slaves. And she was like, if you turn around straight and turn up, back, anybody want to snitch
that's,
or
that's
want to
real,
be against
man. That's
us,
how
get
important
shotgun.
This is right now. And like I said, it's always, it needs a focal point, like something like this, where everybody sees that we ain't taking it no more. So every step after this needs to be right. very strategic and very important. And it needs to be, like you said, a leader in this movement. And I mean, I could go through a list of names, which some right. people might agree and disagree, but you know, but I'm like, there needs to be a hierarchy of people that understand the young community, because it's not about the elders anymore. The elders are just as slave mentality as any of us. You know, they lost it. You know, them young boys at it again, but you don't right. see the end goal. You don't see the depression behind you being out and having to deal with this, because they're not older cats that know the law. They're doing it to the youngins. You know what I mean?
Right. That's, right. I mean, it's tough. Right. And I mean, shoot. And even if you go to discussion of history, so that your kids can understand, you know, like black people, we have to teach our children how to behave around cops. We have to be polite. Yes, sir, is there something wrong? Da, 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 da. Yeah, something wrong, officer, or something like that, or whatever.
Yeah, right.
Meanwhile,
yeah, like, and he's the nicest like, person in the world.
You stop me.
Why
you stop me? Come out. Come out with. Look, they can come out their house with a knife or whatever, a gun,
right.
and the police wow. will not shoot them or nothing. But they just shot a man over a $20 bill.
And you know what helps
is our life
right now?
Worth $20.
What's helping them even more, or giving them a reason, is the they let all. So I mean, even in that video, I don't know if anybody else caught it, but one of them's like, "If you don't want it to happen, don't get high or don't do drugs." You know what I mean? That's like they use that as that's been since yeah. the drug era. You know what I mean?
Right. And everything is connected. Even with the, like you said before, with the slave patrol, with the 13th Amendment, with the prison industrial complex. You bring in crack, flood the hood with crack, lock everybody up. It's a repeating cycle. You know what I'm saying? And that's why we have two candidates, one that's batshit crazy, and one that wrote the damn crime bill. And then before that, Hillary was part of that war on crime. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's why I got to get what Puff said. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we need to get something out of this. We can't just vote people in. That doesn't mean you vote Republican. But we got to hold our people responsible in the CBC and then to get off their asses and do some shit they need to do. Because they don't do nothing. You have a whole congressional black Congress. But yet, one of them went past the TRACE Act, H.R. 6666. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, why y'all ain't speaking up more about police brutality? Why y'all not trying to pass some laws against police brutality? Because a lot of these people that's in Congress are lawyers, and they connected to the Justice Department, or they connected to the system.
As long as they get some bread.
And that's why they remain solid. They get their checks, get their little lobbying money. And I cannot give props to the ones that speak out. And that's why they don't like Omar and Presley. And I forgot the other lady name, because they not on that, I'm going to pull the company line or tow the company line. We're going to speak out for our constituents. We're going to tell you what's going wrong with people of color in our communities. We're not just going to sit back in our little suits in Congress and act like, you know, nothing is going on because our life is good. You know what I'm saying? So we like all skin folk and kin folks. We need to check the coons. We need to check the races, down, man. And we need to check the traitors. All of that. We need to check all that shit, for real. You know what I'm saying? So that's where the point we got to get to, man, where we strategize and find the ways, like I said, whether it's brothers going with other police to the police department and becoming police together, policing, having police that look like you, police your community, and the criminal justice reform is very important. And a lot of these stars and athletes, they need to be heard. But like you said, when you get a little bit of money, you become
solid. You're still a slave.
You begin to lose your money. And if that's the case, you're still a slave. Because you ain't free to speak your mind. You can't even have the freedom of speech because you say something wrong. Speak out against something. They
take a lot of money. They take responsibility. They found their end goal, which was to be a rich white man. That's what they wanted. They desired all their life to be was a rich white man, a rich white woman about him. So, and that's a huge, I mean, I'm telling you, huge in our community where the black men that are on the police department are married to white women. I'm not afraid to talk about that. We need to talk about this.
You know,
but we need to discuss that shit, man. Because
I mean, we were going at that's another episode. That's another episode. But we gonna get ready to wrap up in a minute. I think we gonna been on for like hour and 22 minutes. We can go a little bit longer. But like I said, history is important. If you don't know your history, you're bound to repeat it. You're not gonna see what's coming when it's coming. And a lot of people probably got took off guard from this because. You know, me and you, we talk our stuff daily, but now you see everybody, you know what I'm saying, you know, posting stuff now. I'm just like, yeah, yo, I do this 365. So, you know what I mean? And I don't do that because it's like, I'm not a cynic. I'm not like, I'm not walking around with a heart full of hate, but I want my people to be aware. Mm-hmm. And if they're not going to do the work, then we're going to do the work.
The revolution will be televised, sir.
If not, we won't be doing it. Don't kill the messenger. We come to give y'all the message. Y'all take it in. You know what I'm saying? Don't say you hip. Build. This is why we call this build and destroy. And I'm gonna end it on this note. We call this episodes the build and destroy episode. This is build and destroy episode volume one or version one. And each week we're going to talk on different topics that affect the black community or things that are going on in the world, in America, wherever. So we'll be touching on different topics. This is Exquisite Podcast. This is the Build and Destroy episodes of this podcast. So you guys definitely tune in. We'll be posting weekly. But yeah, again, we're going to wrap it up. Like you said, the policing has a history of being tied to racism or white supremacy. from the slave patrols to the fugitive acts to the Negro acts to the black codes to the vagrancy laws to anything that was put there to put us back forward. So when people say, hey, y'all lazy or y'all do that, you know, some people can make it through the gauntlet, you know what I'm saying? But a lot of people, they have generations of trauma, generations of systematic racism, generations of bad health, different situations that have systematically held them down. Does that mean you can't overcome it? No, I think it has to be two parts. It's not just self-accountability. Don't be like, oh, you lazy. Oh, black people are lazy. No, most black people aren't lazy. You know what I'm saying? Don't be saying, oh, they lazy. They don't want to work. They don't want to do this or whatever. Right. When you come here from another country, it's a lot easier for you because you didn't have to suffer what our parents did. You hadn't had to climb out that hole. And a lot of you got to have money to get here anyway. You know what I mean? We don't go to England and go to school. We don't have that privilege to go abroad and go to school like that. But we still survive. And we still have the most black doctors in America. We still thriving, but we still have more to do. So that's what this podcast is going to be about. It's going to be about empowerment. It's going to be about solutions. It's going to be about building. And back, what we mean by building is when we have information, we want to build upon it, we build upon it. Hey, you got some information on this? Yeah. Oh, yeah, add that to this. Oh, you got some information? Add your information. Because we're building a strong foundation so we can make change and come up with solutions and not be complainers. We're going to be self-sufficient, self-reliant, self-accountable, but we're not going to discount the effects of slavery that are still affecting us today. Okay. And even the trauma that's in our DNA. And that's that. You know what I'm saying? So, on that note, that's the end of our podcast.
Indeed, man. I enjoyed it, man.
We're going to leave it like this. Thanks for coming on and helping me on this podcast.
About to start something new, man. I'm optimistic, brother. So, let's get it. All you scared to do.
Yeah, man. Thanks for signing in, man. Coming on today. We'll be back next week. This is the Squidded Podcast, the Build and Destroy Edition, Episode 1. Stay tuned. We have more coming to you guys. We're going to ride out on some Jay-Z and Jay Electronica. Peace.